You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Wednesday, I speak to Skulk Lowe, Portfolio Manager at PSG Wealth, Old Oak Division in Cape Town. Lots of results recently, Skulk. It's an easy question for me to ask. It gets me off the hook. I don't say, what did you think of these results or those results? I just say, all these results, what have you made of them? What does it tell you about the South African economy? What does it do for your portfolios? There's my question.
Yeah. So it's a sort of a very, very broadly stroke, and it's not the type of answer we're going to give you. How long is a piece of string? It's just, you know, how long? What's the time period that I've got here? How long can I got to explain?
Give me now, a chance to go downstairs, have a cup of tea, and then come back up again.
You're going to need more than just one. Right. You're going to need more than one. Okay, so
pick one good one and one bad one, please. That's what I'll do.
We'll discuss a few companies or one or two companies, you know, today. But I think today was an extremely interesting day for me,
right?
Because we've had this, let's call it the past few days, which was really lackluster. I mean, we know it was negativity in the market was really prominent, and this morning we had China coming out, and there was a bit of a recovery there, and I didn't really get the feeling that our market is going to be extremely strong. And then we had, you know, the Fed came out, and you know, you're talking about, you know, don't know what to answer. I mean, how's Powell's feedback today? I mean, They basically start off this whole speech stating it's typically that I don't want to go into the joke. It's about the guy that jumps out of an airplane and then his parachute don't open, but he's not to worry. He's got a spear and that didn't open either. But not to worry. I mean, it wasn't too high and there was a haystack below him, but again there was a pin in it, a needle in. But anyway, bottom line is it's just good bad.
You're not very good at telling jokes, are you? You're a fantastic fund manager.
I'm done of the punchline. I will continue. It was clearly not a good joke, but I mean, I read this whole report, you know, of Powell, the Fed report, and you know, they started off, they've got greater confidence that inflation is now moving towards the targeted 2%.
That's quite a change from the last statement, wasn't it? I mean,
he
was saying we're going to, you know, don't expect rate cuts too soon because we're still worried about inflation. Now he's done a 180 on us and said, now we've got, you know, we're confident. Very mixed messages.
Yeah, but that's the thing. He said that's exactly the point that I have to make. They actually said, "Oh, he's confident that inflation is moving back, but we're not there yet." And then it continues to say, "But you know, we're nearing the end of the high, but they won't start, you know, cutting rates too soon, okay, because if they cut it too soon, and they say, but." It will definitely be this year. And
December.
I read this report and I went like, okay, this will be interesting to see how the market perceives this. And boom, I mean, futures were trading negative most of the day. It turned around and suddenly markets started running. I mean, I think once those futures were down quite a bit, 100 points, 1%, those type of regions, turned around.
Up 0.6 now for the S&P, yeah.
Well, on one stage, now only 0.35 again. Oh. But it was on one stage, it was closer to 1%, like you said, you know, 0.65 when you looked at it a few minutes ago. Now only 0.35. And I read this and said, well, guys, what's making you optimistic? I mean, you know, November, Powell came out and he was a lot more dovish, way, way more dovish, stating that we will most probably see 4, you know, rate cuts, you know, next year. Now he's saying, well, we'll definitely see one this year. He's not saying we will see the only one next this year. What I'm worried about, and I think I'm going to be more focused on tomorrow. Tomorrow, the ECB will come out and they will announce their rates, their environment.
What do you think? Because everyone's always said that because Europe is in a slightly worse economic state than Europe is in. Yeah, doing worse than the United States, excuse my clumsiness there. And people have always said the first central bank to break ranks will be the ECB. I mean, obviously, of the major economies. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do that. I do agree with that. We've seen last time around that the Fed were last. They were last to hike rates first for the first time. I think it was March 2021, if I'm not mistaken, or 22. They started hiking rates, but ECB was well ahead of them. Why do I think tomorrow is going to be interesting? Because let's just to set the table. I mean, as it stands here, the consensus are that we'll see rates remain unchanged. And I agree with it. I don't think they'll necessarily, rattle the cage now. But I think behind those closed doors, there's some serious conversation now. Because we know the UK is in a technical recession. We know Japan is in a technical recession. I think the ECB is looking at this and said, guys, we've got 2 months. Are we gonna risk the chance of heading into a technical recession as well, following the UK? Or, do we feel that we want to try and prohibit this and let's rather, I don't know. I seriously don't know. I think I would not be surprised tomorrow if the ECB surprised us.
Okay. I'd like to see that. Christine Lagarde doesn't seem the sort of woman that is prone to surprises, though. I think she's got a more measured personality than that.
Put it out there. I don't think they will do this necessarily now. I just say that if they do come out tomorrow and say they're not gonna risk going into this because they're looking good. The unemployment is looking under control. Why risk the economy is coming off like most of the economies? Why risk going into a recession?
Yeah, very true. And Germany, of course, is the one that everyone's talking about with some horrible economic data recently. I was just watching Olaf Scholz on German TV, funnily enough, which is useless to me because I can't speak a word of it. But he's talking about the regions and how we're going to get out of it, etc. You do pick up a few things. But anyway, the point is that we're at a very crucial time now with markets being so elevated. I mean, today's range on the S&P, 5,084, rounding it up to 5,122. That's the high of the day, and now bang in the middle, 5,102. So people are sort of getting themselves positioned to go either way should the central bank, and also don't forget we've got jobs data from the United States on Friday.
Jobs are going to be extremely important.
I think
that's now. I'm actually while we're having this conversation, I'm pressing refresh the whole time to see if the jobs. Wait, there we go.
Go on.
Jobs did come out. Here we go. So we can actually look at it. So previous was 8.889 million, and again table setting, 22 months in a row, JOLTS has been declining from its highs. 22 months in a row.
Jobless claims you're talking about, yeah.
No, that's job openings. The job openings.
Yeah, okay. Because there's three different. The one I look at is jobless claims, which comes out. But we've got the non-farm payrolls on Friday, haven't we?
That's Friday. But today it's the JOLTS, because the JOLTS, JOLTS, or yes, job openings. That's I love that graph. If you take that graph, Lindsay, and historic graph, and you take that graph and put it on the S&P 500 over a 10-year period, they look like a mirror image. They're a massive correlation between the two. amazing correlation. And we've known that the jobs has been, or the new job openings has been declining for 22 months in a row now. Wait for it. 23 months in a row been declining, because although we've seen a slight beat on the forecast, it is still lower, you know, because in December it came out at 8.889 million new job openings, this time around 8863. So it's more or less the same, but still, you know, slightly down, which still means the new job openings is still declining. Why is that important? You know, people are so focused on unemployment, you know, figures. I look at it a different way. I say, well, less job openings eventually will see to, you know, unemployment figures. You know,
yeah, but maybe you could be an optimist on this one, Scott, and say we don't have any job openings. All our jobs are full at the moment because we're doing so well. And only when a company expands, for example, I mean, let's say you at PSG Wealth, I don't know whether you've got job openings or not, and will you need job openings in the future? And if you don't have a job opening, it doesn't mean to say you're doing badly. It just means you don't need anyone. You're running efficiently. And I think that will be the future of the job market. Less people will be employed because of artificial intelligence and other efficiencies. Gotcha. Anyway, that's me being an uncharacteristic optimist. Sorry, go on.
But again, I mean, just go look at the graph. S&P 500 with the job openings, with the jolts, and we've been seeing that the job openings been declining massively. But the S&P 500 has been making new highs, you know, quite a few times this month already. Mm. So just something to watch. As mentioned, 23 months in a row, been declining.
Okay, as a JSE companies, I asked you to pick one, good one bad one. I think Bidvest yesterday stood out. Last week you spoke about Harmony, which was a good one. But any good or bad ones that really caught your attention in the last few days?
I thought AVI looked pretty good as well. I mean, I don't have the figures in front of me, but I think I recall a increase in both HEPS and the dividend, 17.4%. I mean, that's a solid increase. Still one of my favorite, let's call it defensive type of company. Such a quality company, great brands. And as I mentioned, you know, as a lover of dividends, this is a company that's been doing well. Back to today, I think the only company that I would say, it's been a few companies that reported. We had Sea Harvest. We know that they've very similar to I&J. We know that that market, the fishing market, is under pressure. Yes. We saw a slight kickback, although the results wasn't that good. We did see a recovery in the share price, and I think it's what sort of overexertion, but we know that they also brought out regular trading updates. So I just think market is that typical buy and rumor and sell on fact. The one that actually stood out was Quilter, also a company that really guided well. So no massive surprises. Share price up 90 basis points, but very much in line with the JSE. I mean, the financial sector today, 1.8% up. So very much in line. But I just reiterate for the people that missed the trading update, they mentioned their assets under management, assets under management and administration, that increased by 7%. Now, when they brought out the trading update earlier, it was more focused on this amount, and I think the market took it very, you know, positive. But I think they elaborated today, stating that most of this, let's call it growth in assets under management and administration, was market related. They had some very, very few new flows, but in general, I thought it looked pretty decent. Like I mentioned, that was the asset management. The profits increased by 25%. Revenue increased by 3%, actually, with the increase in asset management. And another dividend. Dividend also increased by 16%. So, you know, while these markets are struggling somewhat, there are quite a few companies out there, both locally and abroad, that's consistently growing their dividends, which I just think might attract some of these.
Yeah, some people say, well, it's because they haven't got anything else to invest in. They haven't got any other companies they can snap up. So they're just utilizing, just adjusting their balance sheet accordingly by rewarding shareholders. Some people will say that's a negative thing. Other people say, bring it on. I'm a shareholder and I deserve this dividend. I'm just looking at the markets now. They've really shot up in the last hour, haven't they? And I'm gonna come to that in a moment. You'll give me the indices. Just on my delayed screen. Yeah, 1.75% up for the overall all share index. Mm. But just go to the Rand, which was in the high 1930s, 36 hours ago, now 1883. Nice move there. The British pound against the Rand is 23.95, and the Euro Rand is 20.49. Euro dollar 108.85, which is a euro that's about 0.25% higher than yesterday against the greenback. Commodities, I mean, come on now. Do you know a chap called Peter Schiff? Do you remember Peter Schiff?
He called the
subprime crisis in 2006, yes. And he was rudely dismissed by a CNBC reporter, and he got it absolutely right. But sometimes he gets things absolutely wrong, but he's absolutely right on gold. I think gold's at a record high, isn't it? 2,141.42. This is a high, isn't it? All time.
That's it. That's it. All-time highs. But, I mean, I tweeted yesterday, Lindsay. I don't know if you saw that. Although, I mean, even if you look at it on a – well, you actually spoke about the dollar gold price.
Yes.
Rand gold price also making new highs, despite the fact that the Rand is somewhat stronger.
Yes.
But I mean, with yesterday's closing prices, I'm not gonna talk about Durban, Roodepoort Deep because it's a long history, and both Durban, Roodepoort Deep and Harmony with very, very long histories came off they ran highs very early 2000s. I'm not gonna touch on that because that's somewhat different. It was different mines and different companies back then. We know they changed quite a lot over the past, let's call it 22 years. But when you look at the remaining three gold mines with Anglo Gold, Goldfields, Pan African, they made their highs at the previous high, the gold price back, which was in 2020. Now today, the gold price, as you just mentioned, is trading at new dollar highs and new rand highs. Yet, with yesterday's closing price, Anglo Gold is still trading 35% off its highs it's traded in 2020 when it made the previous highs. Goldfields 14% and Pan African Resources 18%. So, very interesting. I think this is sort of an area where I'll definitely be focusing on, because, you know, we know, and funny enough, when you look at I like monitoring a ETF called the Van Eck Gold Miners. You also get the Junior Gold Miners, but Van Eck Gold Miners, that's the largest gold mines in the world, in Barrick Gold. And yes, very, very nice ETF.
Is it liquid? Is it a good extremely, vehicle? Oh, very good. Okay.
Extremely liquid. Yes, extremely. Yeah, Van Eck. There's two of them. It's the iShares one, but I prefer the Van Eck one. But when you look at the Van Eck ETF and you compare it to the normal GLD, which is the gold ETF, the international gold yield ETF, you'll see exactly the same trend. The gold miners have still seriously lagged the gold price. It's as if, you know, most of the investors were saying, well, gold price, it breached the $2,000, but it'll come back. I mean, it's still lagging. It's and remember, every day the gold price is trading at these 2,100 plus levels. This is amazing absolutely amazing.
Got to take my hat off to you, Scal. You've called this one. You've stuck with it. It is an incredible move. I can remember the days when gold was just above $250 an ounce. It's now nearly a hop, skip and a jump away from being 10 times that. Thank you, Gordon Brown, the Chancellor at the time. Chancellor of the Exchequer in the UK, that is. But anyway, 21.43 I've got on my, again, slightly delayed screen, which is quite extraordinary. And the fact is, you look at a graph, you say, well, where are the resistance lines? There's no resistance because it's blue sky from here on in. You've got to look at support and what it might pull back to and if this is a false break, as they call it. But I don't know. I think this thing is looking fantastic. And thank you, Peter Schiff, for alerting me at 2 o'clock in the morning. And the Rand gold price, by the way, is 40,320 at the moment, down slightly because of the strength of the Rand. But look at that, 40,320 per ounce. And in kilos, 129,6283. What does that mean? Anyway, let's look at other commodities now. And by the way, if anyone's listening who is a podcaster or interviewer on TV or radio, if you need to get through your show, don't mention gold to Skulk Lowe.
Yeah, well, just by the way, you were mentioning Gordon Brown. I think just a little bit of a history lesson. what Lindsay just said. I still think to date, since 2000, the Bank of England still remains the only central bank that actually sold.
Disinvested in gold.
And like you said, $250 per ounce.
It was 256.25 or something, the last 25 tons that they sold. And Gordon Brown, I got to love Scottish chancellors. Okay, what other commodities have we got? try and not mention one that he's going to have an opinion on, Lindsay. Please avoid it. Okay, we've got West Texas crude, $79.80, up 2% and a bit. Brent crude oil also doing okay, but not quite as well as the American brand. It's up 1.4% to $83.18. Natural gas prices are flat, and wheat prices have fallen 2.7%. So people, what else we've got? Coal, steel, nothing much going on there. Let's have a look at the all-important US 10-year, which has taken a heart from Powell. Let's call it 4.10%. Was in the 430s a few days ago. The South African 10-year, 10.12%, which is up 2 basis points. Strange, given the strength of the Rand. And Bitcoin and gold, if you'd only have those in your portfolio 6 months ago, look at what you'd be doing. 66,212 is Bitcoin, which is down 3.75%, but not that many moons ago. It was down at 14,000, 15,000, I think it was. So it's done extraordinarily well. S&P 500 futures, back above 5,100, went down briefly when Scout told us that the jobs numbers were out, the jolts, 5,104, which is still up on the day by about 0.33%. Any shares catch your eye today before I give you my top and bottom five, Skulk?
Well, I think like you said, the whole market, I mean, how it actually turned around, and most of these resource companies, I mean, you're going to mention the top and bottom performers, but most of these resource companies you're going to mention as top performers, they had a rightish day until let's call it an hour or two ago, but then suddenly just, quarter past four, it's as if just floodgates just open. But yeah, go. I think you're going to have a great time reading all the winners.
Okay, the winners are top of the list, Sibanye-Stillwater up 7.2%. Impala Platinum up 6.7%. Momentum Metropolitan up 5.7%. Vodacom, that's a big move, 5.1%. I wonder what that's all about. And Anglo-American, the parent. Anglo-American PLC just below 4.5% higher on the downside. I'll get rid of a couple of the scrappy ones and start with Netcare down just over 4%. Pan African Resources down 3.25%, and HCI down 1.75%. So very much dominated by the winners. And Skalke, you'll tell us why, because of the performance of the JSE indices, please.
Yeah, JSE today closed at 73,578. What a day. One of the best days in 2024 thus far. 1.85% up for today. Resources, really? As Lindsay mentioned, was the leading index, 2.36%, while the industrial index were up 1.81%. followed by financials, also 1.81%, and SA Property also having a lovely day. I mean, what a year the SA Property have, not just on 2024, but 2023 and 2024, still very much the winner in your portfolio. When you look at the turnover on the market, again, not a massive day, but luckily surpassed the 15 billion, 17 and a quarter value traded for today.
Very good indeed. Skulk Lowe is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in Cape Town, the Old Oak division. Skulk won't be with us next week because he's in such demand. He's hosting a conference. But Skulk, thank you very much for your input this evening on the 5 o'clock shadow, and we'll see you in 2 weeks' time. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.